Psalm 26 is where we are. Psalm 26. Walking in truth, walking in the light. All of the above. That's what this psalm is about. So, Psalm 26, a few verses. We'll read them here. So it starts off, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord." So he puts those things together. "Therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, prove me. Try my reins, my heart. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I've not sat with persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I've hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency, and so will I compass thine altar." I'll gather around the altar. "That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, the right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me, be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place, in the congregations will I bless the Lord." Good prayer of David here. A few things that he does that we need to pay attention to. He puts things like trusting the Lord and the way he walks together. He doesn't make distinctions between those things in this psalm. He puts those things together and invites criticism. He invites judgment. He invites the Lord's examination of his life. He talks about trying his heart and proving him and examining his life. And so that said, let's pray. And I'll give you a few points about this psalm. And hopefully we can learn something about it. I'm learning a lot from David's theology and his going through the Psalms this time. It's kind of eye-opening, a little more eye-opening than it has been in the past. And I see a lot more, again, continuity from Old Testament, New Testament. A lot of these things are similar, what goes on. And so, and the principles at work. And so, that said, let's pray. And we'll deal with this psalm, Psalm 26, about walking in the light. Walking in the light, or walking in truth here. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for what you've given to us here. I pray that we'd be instructed by them, wouldn't bring our prejudices and things like that to them and impose our will on these words, but we'd listen and we would get what we need from the instruction here and the way that life is framed and the way David frames his relationship with you, that we would learn from it, because this is what it's for. And so I pray that you'd help us with that, and thank you again for each soul that's here, for those that are sick. I pray that you heal up their bodies. I know Cynthia's got surgery tomorrow. Sherry seems to be doing good. For Les's dad, that you'd heal up his body and help him get out of the hospital after getting hit by the car. And so I pray that you would do those things and help these folks. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So the idea is walking in the light or walking in truth. And David, over and over, will talk about how he walks with the Lord. And again, he'll invite the Lord to examine his life. He'll say things that he's done and has not done, what he stayed away from, what he stays away from, his attitude about certain people. And yes, it's an attitude about certain people. And so it's people that he doesn't want any part of what they're doing because it's just sin. And so David talks about those things, but he talks about also how he wants to be a voice for the Lord. And I've noticed I've noticed something, and we'll get to it at the end here, but the way David gives his testimony or talks about his relationship to the Lord, he doesn't, if David ever talks about his own sin, it's never to promote the mercy of God. When he talks to the Lord about sin, his own sin, it's because he is really broken about it. And I think people give their testimonies about sin and they want to drag people through the mud in their life, how terrible it was and horrible it was and things like that. And when David, I've noticed, he doesn't think a life of sin glorifies or honors God in any real way. It's just a bad thing. And so that said, David's, the way he talks about his relationship to God in the beginning here, he invites examination. So walking in truth, it would say this way, it means trust with a view toward the loving kindness of God. It is walking in the light. It means you're unafraid of examination because you've lived your life according to what God's given direction. And so he says, judge me, O Lord. I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. That phrase right there, the first verse, pay attention to that because he talks about trusting the Lord, but he talks about how he walks. So these things are not imaginary things. It's not a head belief. It is a practice. David's trust is a practice in his life. And so this is why he asks and invites the Lord to examine his life. So he walks in integrity and trusting the Lord. Those things are connected. They're not disconnected. They're very much connected. Like I said, David welcomes the light of the Lord to examine his life. Now, this brings up something that, I don't know if it's Greek philosophy, I don't know, but the concept of truth and people walking in truth throughout the Bible and the Hebrew understanding of truth is that it is something that you can examine. It is something that happens in time and space, and it has measurable qualities. It is not a theoretical, metaphysical thing that is just sort of a spiritual leap into the darkness, and we just grab the truth. It's not like when I mentioned the Greeks, I don't know if it was them that had the idea that truth was like if all the systems in the equation are balanced, then you've arrived at the truth. You know, it's like, oh, everything, we've got everything perfectly balanced, and now we've got the truth. The Hebrew concept of it, the biblical concept of truth, is it's examinable, it's measurable. It's almost like sin and on the opposite side of the spectrum there, it's almost like criminal law. There's either a crime that's happened, and you can measure it, and you can find it out, and you can test it, and you can see what's actually gone on. Well, truth on the opposite side is like that. It's something that's happened. It occupies time and space, and it's measurable. So David says, look, examine my life. I have lived according to your truth. I've lived according to your light. I've walked in these good ways. I have done this. And so he welcomes this examination. And that really is, that is the attitude of, and I know David's pre-Jesus Christ, but that is the attitude of someone who is going to follow the Lord and at this point in time be a Christian. This is the attitude. It's welcoming light into your life. Jesus Christ would say it this way, to talk about it negatively. He would say, men love darkness because what? Their deeds were evil. Because of what they did, they wanted that stuff hidden. They don't want light in their life. They don't want to be exposed. They don't want things to come out. And so, contrary, on the other side, if you're walking in the light, it doesn't... It doesn't bother you to be examined. It doesn't bother you to be scrutinized. It doesn't bother you that the Lord would maybe probe around and ask questions and things like that. I'm kind of hypothetical there, but that's the idea. So David's view of walking in God's truth is that it is something that can be examined. It's like accepting Jesus Christ's kingdom. You jump ahead a few thousand years, and accepting Jesus Christ's kingdom is not a leap of faith like that, like you might think of it. It's an activity that happens in space and time. It's something that can be examined. It has real qualities, just like John would say, eternal life. It's something we felt and we handled and we listened to and we heard and we saw, and it was. Life was a person. It was Jesus Christ. It was measurable. It was these things, and that's the way truth is, and that's the way life is. And so, and John would go on to say, life is not. It's not when he defines. He says, "I wrote these things so you'll know that you have life." So here's the judgment. Here's the qualities. Here's the things, and he gives like five things in 1 John. And none of them have to do with the ethnicity of people. None of them have to do with biology. It's things like loving the Lord. It's things like loving righteousness and things like that. And so he gives these qualities. And so this is the idea of walking in light or walking in the truth. So according to the Bible, truth is not an unreasonable leap of faith. It's grounded in something. The light of God is really that which is subject to examination because it's real with real properties. And so I'll say, if you're in a position where your beliefs are not allowed to be questioned or have any questions, that's not the truth isn't like that. The truth allows questions. It allows examinations, just like David invites it. Lord, examine my life. Look at me. See what I've done. And so David, he does something really that really all biblical authors do. I think sometimes we miss it because we already kind of have our minds made up about faith. But David links these things together, that faith, that trusting the Lord has to do with his integrity. It has to do with the way he lives his life. It's never just wrapped up in his mind. It's the way he lives his life. And we talk about men loving darkness. We've dealt with that. You get the idea. But I'd say one of the surest ways to know that you're walking honestly in the truth is that you invite examination. You're okay with examination. It's not a nuisance to you, but I would say probably if you're doing something wrong or you think you're doing something wrong, you're not going to want close examination of your life. You're not going to want any sort of scrutiny. So David is a good man who walks in the light that he's given. And so walking in truth, what does that mean? It means trust with a view toward the loving kindness of God. So David says, Your loving kindness is before my eyes. I have walked this way. Verse 3, thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I've walked in thy truth. The second thing I notice, walking in truth, it means in this psalm that David, he stayed away from certain people. Not sitting with vain people, not divisive people. Talks about hating evil, which, I know hate is a strong word, but David talks about staying away from certain people because they love things that God hates, and you just can't be around that, and you don't want to be around that. And so he stays away from that. David understands this. He understands something about sin. Sin is like, it's like this. It is, he lists these things here. He says, I've not sat with vain persons, neither will I go with dissimilars. So my social life, my community, the people that I put around me and that I put myself around don't have these qualities, if I can help it. He says, I've hated the congregation of evildoers. I'll not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. David understands that these things that people do, this is sin. When Isaiah told the nation, for instance, you know, when Isaiah tells the nation, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That is sin. You ought to think of sin like, again, going back to the criminal activity and crime illustration. Sin is like that. It is something people do. Now, we're all born with appetites and we're all born with capabilities and things like that. But you're not a murderer unless you've done that. You have that ability to do it, but you're not that until you've done that. You may have things, Jesus Christ talked about things in your heart, and what he's trying to get at is that these activities come out of your heart, and they do. These things are probably rolled around into your heart and mind for a long time. But when he goes to prosecute sin, all through the Old Testament, even Paul will say it, these things make God mad. Proverbs, Solomon would say, God hates these things. A lying tongue, somebody that is a gossip. These are the things. And so David deals with sin. He deals with walking in the light, which means staying away from this sin. Staying away from these things. So the idea of being like Paul would talk about it, that these are criminal acts in God's kingdom, and as far as God is concerned, these sins that bring the wrath of God on man, that's what Paul would say, for these things the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. And so, like Isaiah said, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Not your birth, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And so, yeah, does sin start with thoughts? Sure. Sure. But is it sin before it's happened? Well, you can't be a murderer until you've committed that act. You can roll it around in your heart, but you're not that. Well, what I'm saying is, just like truth, just like walking in truth seems to be a behavior, the same thing that David says about sin. This is a behavior. This is something people do. So walk in truth means staying away from certain people. This is what David says. I don't sit with vain people. I don't commune with these folks. I stay away from them. I don't want to company with them. And he uses kind of a harsh word. I've hated the congregation of evildoers. They're evil thinkers for sure, but they're evildoers. These were people who do things that are bad. Verse 6, I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. What is that? I'm going to be clean when I come to the altar. I'm going to be clean, not just imaginarily clean. I'm not just going to, okay, God, just take away everything and, you know, I'm good. I'm going to walk this so that when I approach the altar, just like Jesus Christ would say, look, if you come to the altar and you got a gift to give, but you got something going on between you and your brother over here, take care of that. Then come to the altar. Be innocent when you come to the altar. Be innocent if you're going to offer me something, if you're going to serve the Lord in some way. Be innocent. So David says he is. And it's not, you know, when I read these things, sometimes, I don't know, you might get the idea that David is overstepping his own righteousness, but I don't think he's not. These are things that David, he understands God's instruction. He understands that he has followed God's instruction, which I think you should be able to do. You should be able to know that you followed it. And he understands that in following it, this is where life is. This is where goodness is. This is where the things of blessings are in God's kingdom are. And so David, in talking about this, I mean, maybe it'll come across as I don't know, arrogant maybe, but it's not. It's just not. This is perfectly good theology. It's perfectly good relationship with the Lord that the Lord has already condoned. He's already said, this is a man after my heart. This is how I would wish people were. And so this is what David says. In verses 6 through 8, he talks about walking clean so he has a voice to speak for the Lord because he loves the places where God is honored. He loves to go and to be around places and people where God gets the glory. So he says, I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitations of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. So David makes his case before God that he's a faithful man because he doesn't do certain things. He's followed the light that he's given. He tries to keep himself away from where sin is and just stay away from that. He's not an accomplice to other people's sins. He isn't vain. He doesn't make friends with divisive people. He shuns people who practice evil. He refuses to condone wicked behavior. And so all of these things, David is, if you notice, he talks about he loves where God is honored. And when he gives a testimony like this and he says, I want to be clean around God's altar so that I'll have a voice to bless God with. Which, you just compare it to your own thoughts, maybe. I compare it to things I've heard and even things I've thought before, where maybe in the past it was understood or thought that God gets glory when we talk about how bad we were and how great God's mercy is. David doesn't seem to think that. He doesn't think a life of sin displays God's mercy. He thinks a life of walking in the light is something that shows people that God prefers goodness, likes the truth. He wants kindness. He wants these things, all the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about. And so David says, I've loved the habitations of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. I love these things. Verse 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. So I can talk about it. Not the wondrous works because I'm such a terrible person and you're so merciful, God. No, I want to be innocent. I want to be clean. I want to walk in the light. That way I have a voice to bless God with and to speak his name and not blaspheme his name to other people. And then the last part of this, 9 through 12, walking in integrity. So he walks in God's light. I don't know, maybe not the last part of this, but almost here. He says, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief. So that's what they practice this. And their right hand is full of bribes. So they're just conniving and sneaky and manipulative and manipulative in a bad way. You know, they're greedy. But he says in verse 11, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me, be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place, in the congregation will I bless the Lord. So David talks about walking in his own integrity, so he walks in God's light this way. He takes the light and he applies it to his life. He walks in it, and he wants to be the right person so that God gets the glory in his life. He wants to be the right person so God's mercy can be put on display, so that God's goodness and God's desires can be put on display in his life. And again, maybe our thought may be a little bit contrary to that. It's kind of like, let me drag up my sin and tell you how terrible I am so God's mercy can show. David thinks, no, you need to live a life that's good. You need to live a life that's right so that you can show what God wants out of people's lives. And that gives maybe sometimes the dragging up sin stuff give people the wrong the wrong message that God actually doesn't care about sin, that it just he'll just turn a blind eye to it, and that's not the case. David doesn't see that. David says what seems to be the opposite of that. Let me live well. Let me participate with God and his goodness so people can see that God is absolutely opposed to sin and truly loves goodness. That's what he's looking for. I don't want to be in a position where people blaspheme God because they watched my life. And David had that a couple times in his life. You know, the whole deal with Bathsheba and Uriah, and Nathan the prophet comes to him and says, essentially for the Lord, speaking for the Lord, says, look, you have caused and given reason for these other people to blaspheme God. You've done this. Yeah, you're forgiven. Yeah, you're going to be forgiven of this. But that's not a God's belt or anything. It's something you're going to have to get over. It's something you're going to have to work through, because this just makes this whole work of God more complicated now. And so his integrity, his trust in God, his walk, all of these things, this is all about walking in the light, walking in truth, and David inviting this examination and kind of talking through his life to the Lord. I don't know if this is towards the end of his life. I don't know where this happens in his life, at what point this happens, or this psalm is written, but kind of sounds like it might be towards the end of his life, but I don't know for sure. But he puts together a lot of things that maybe we ought to put together. And when he talks about trust and when he talks about his own integrity, he's not being self-righteous. He's explaining how he's followed the Lord, and he knows he's followed the Lord. And that's not bad. That's a good thing. You ought to know that you follow the Lord. You ought to know that you have, and you've done it. And so don't be afraid of that. Trust the Lord, follow the Lord, and know that you've done that, just like David did. And that's what he's doing. And so he invites, like I said, this examination. He's not, Lord, don't look at me. Don't just hide your face from me. I'm just a terrible person. He's like, no, Lord, please examine my life. I walk in the light. I try to walk in the light. And I'm not afraid. If you find something in error, then I will fix it. I will address it. I'm not afraid of you finding errors. If you find them, you find them, and we'll deal with it. But it's good instruction from David, somebody who the Lord said, this is a man after my heart. This is somebody who, this is a man who God made king of a nation. And so it's good instruction. It's good things to learn from this man here. So hope that's helpful. That's Psalm 26. And Psalm 26, just a few verses there. But walking in truth, or walking in the light. That's David's theme here. So let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And thank you for each soul that's here this evening, and again for those that are sick or in the hospital or going to be in the hospital, for Cynthia with her surgery tomorrow, I pray that goes well. And then for Les's dad, I pray that he can get out of the hospital quickly. Thank you for Sherry's recovery from her surgery this week, and pray she continue to recover. And again, thank you for life and light in Jesus Christ, and I pray that we would learn from David's relationship with you and make some applications where we need to make applications in our own lives. I know I've really considered so much of this in Psalms. There's so much that I need to apply to my life, and so Lord, I pray that you'd help me and help us with all of this, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.